This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
Hey, James. How you doing today?
Doing great.
I hope you had a great Mother's Day weekend.
A lot of fun. We went out, it seemed like every day. I'm exhausted for a Monday. It's all good.
I tell you what, we had the coolest Mother's Day gift happen to us over here. A young man was walking by just as we got the lawnmower out, and he came over and asked if he could mow the lawn for free.
Ooh.
Because it was Mother's Day weekend. So that was really nice. And then I had the mother-in-law over for a barbecue, because one of the things you don't get when you're in a senior apartment complex is barbecue. So she was happy to have a grilled hamburger. So we had a really fun weekend.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
So what are we going to talk about today? Malwarebytes warns us about Google Chrome and Anthropic's secret no opt-out downloads. It is as nefarious as it sounds. I wrote a blog post called Deep Thoughts on MSPs in the AI Age, and it's been getting a lot of chatter. And a professor walked into a classroom on final exam day only to find out that Canvas was down. If you don't know what Canvas is, that's where you take your exams these days. And what did he do next? Stay tuned. Hey, here's our MSP question of the week. How do we manage vibe coding by our clients? What is vibe coding? Let's start with that. Vibe coding, it sounds like fun, doesn't it? It's a good vibe.
It sounds really fun. I still think it sounds like an Earth, Wind, and Fire song. You know, it's one of their old albums.
For you kids out there, just Google Earth, Wind, and Fire to find out what James is talking about. Hey, but vibe, I mean, yeah, it gives you good vibes, right? You also got the Beach Boys reference in there. You can go out and Google that too, guys. But vibe coding is where non-coders basically ask AI to code for them. Hey, I've got this great idea, you know, make a tool that does this, answer the phone for me, do, you know, whatever, update my documentation with the latest ticket, whatever it is. They're vibe coding all these different things. What is interesting about this take is that MSPs are now finding that their clients are doing the vibe coding. So just as you might be doing vibe coding to handle some tasks for you, your clients are also vibe coding. And the question is, as an MSP, do you want to manage their code? What about the security of that code? Who's checking it? And I saw a little bit of chatter about this online. One guy said he's thinking about updating his MSA with something like, you know, remediating issues created by AI assisted coding activities is not included in the support agreement and will be billed at hourly rates. I had a similar thing in my contract that was more security related and do not fiddle with stuff related, where I had a little clause in there that said self-inflicted injuries were not covered in the contract. Yeah. And we build those at hourly rates. To me, this kind of falls into that category, because you code wrong can be bad.
I'm still concerned about, do all MSPs really know, just in general, what AI tools their customers are using? I know the CEOs don't know that on the customers that are being managed. You know, they don't know what their employees are doing. That's why all of us MSPs need to get out there and have some assessment tools in place to monitor that, and then really lock things down is the terrifying part, because it will create issues, right?
If you don't know what's happening, you can't do the basics of what an MSP is there for, to manage, monitor, and secure it, right? We want to enable our clients to do good things and have great vibes, but we also need to manage, monitor, and secure it. You know, the one guy that referenced wants to edit the MSA, and I'm okay with that. But another guy said, just got his first lead who reached out and said, we're looking to leave our current MSP because they don't want to be involved with our AI initiatives. And that's the most important thing we have going in our business. So this, you know, AI is really important to your clients. And if you don't get some kind of handle around it, they're going to leave you. There's an example right there of it actually happening.
Exactly.
So a couple ways that you can manage it. You know, I'm a big fan of Defender for Cloud Apps. Some people manage it through their firewall. But we also might need to direct our clients to better tools. Like, what are they actually using to do all this coding? And there's things like GoodWeek, Hats AI, and Cursor out there that are coding applications, if you will, applications to help you do coding right as a vibe coder. So this might be a good opportunity to use that and to guide your clients to better ways to do this vibe coding. Like, we maybe don't want to stop them from doing it, but we want to give them a way to do it right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well said.
Yeah. So you have to get started with policy for sure. So get a policy in place with your clients so that they know how to manage this in their environment. Because as you alluded to, James, like, the CEOs might not even know that this is happening.
Right.
So we need that policy in place first. Start with that policy. I lowered the price to zero over at third tier for that policy. So if you want to go grab it, you can do that today.
Yeah, and that AI assessment was one of the things on your list as a new service to be offering. I think that's one of the best lead magnets today to get net new prospects in your pipeline and offer that. There's all sorts of great tools to do your assessments as well. Anchor Cyber is a good one, or Atacama, we've talked about before. So check those out.
Yeah. Google Chrome and Anthropic are both doing secret no opt-out downloads. They're putting stuff on your computers, not letting you know. There's a guy who has now been added to my follow list called Alexander Hunt. He's the privacy guy. He wrote a couple of excellent posts. Chrome has been silently installing Gemini Nano on devices. That's their AI model. So if you're using Chrome, guess what's on your computer? Mm-hmm. Gemini Nano, whether you want it or not. They are not asking your permission. They're not sending you a notification. They're just doing it. You use Chrome, James?
I do. I do on all my devices, and that's terrifying. I read through that article, and I always thought these, you know, the free software apps, you know, I knew that was coming. You've got to be real careful with that. But this one was a little, I don't know, more invasive because they're downloading things on your computer and they're also gathering intel on you. So I didn't like that at all.
Yeah. Guess what? Here's the nefarious part. If that wasn't nefarious enough, if you try to delete it, Chrome simply installs it again. that's happening.
But Amy, that's okay because that's buried down on page 942 of their little terms and conditions, right? That no one ever reads.
Nope. We can install anything we want because Google deleted that part of our mission that said, do no harm. Yeah. So Anthropic is on the same thing. Claude's desktop app is silently downloading browser integration across all Chromium browsers. So even if it's not Chrome itself, you're using Opera, you're using, DuckDuckGo, Mozilla, whatever. If it's based on Chromium, including Edge, Anthropic's desktop app is connecting itself to it without telling you. And here's the kicker on this one. This is why it's nefarious. They know it's a problem. It expands the attack surface of every machine. And Claude's own internal red team experiments say that it increases the attack success rate by 23.6% on your machine.
Wow.
And a measly 11.2% if you try to take mitigations against them. This is not a trivial thing.
Yeah, that's spookier the deeper the article goes, but I think we'll see more of that as time goes by for sure.
I hope not. All right. Well, we've got the links for that. And like I said, you should add Hanf to your follow list because he's doing some really good work alerting us to this important stuff. I'm kind of glad that I don't use Anthropic's desktop app at this point. But I'm also a little disturbed about the whole Chromium thing. I, however, do not have Chrome on my desktop.
Hmm.
I've got Edge and I've got Perplexity, Chrome browser, but not Chrome itself. So I'm going to go poking and see if it's actually there, but I'm hoping it's not.
I want to make sure you know about something that's coming up this June. The SMB Online Conference is back June 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And this one is built for operators like you. The theme is profitable is enough, which runs counter to a lot of what you hear in this industry. This isn't about hypergrowth or exit multiples. It's about running a business that works on your terms. 3 days, online, noon to 3:30 Eastern, 12 sessions across pricing, service delivery, AI, M&A, private equity, people, and culture. All practitioner speakers, no vendor keynotes. It closes with a session unlike anything you've seen at a conference. I'm going to read anonymous submissions from attendees, what keeps you up at night about your business, and respond live. No script, real answers. Small Biz Thoughts community members get in free. Go claim your ticket. Everyone else, registration is $399. SMBOnlineConference.com. That's smbonlineconference.com.
So I wrote an article that I titled Deep Thoughts on MSPs in the AI Age. And what it is a kind of a roadmap on what I think the MSP of the future is going to need to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple different sections here, you know, you got to adopt a modern stack that's based on identity, security, training, data management, and AI, of course. You're going to need some new service lines, right? We can start with that AI readiness assessment, which you and I have talked about.
Yep.
The acceptable use and ethics, you better be doing that right now. Optimizing AI for your clients, making sure that they're getting good value from it. And then that's the stuff you should be doing today. Like if you're a beginner coming into this field as an MSP, that's what you should be doing now. And then moving forward, you can then go into managed security and compliance with AI in the loop. Focus in on that fractional CIO role with an AI focus. Strategy sessions, budget, process modernization, tying the AI outcomes into business metrics for the company so that they can tell if they're actually getting benefits from it. The whole thing together really ends up flipping your MSP upside down from what it is today, so that instead of lots of tech people on staff answering the phone and taking care of those help desk calls, we're going to have lots of advisory people and more advanced staff, right? Every one of your vendors is looking to take away that level one, level two. So if your MSP isn't focused on the other stuff, clients are going to have a hard time finding value in the service that you're offering, is my take on that.
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It's a great article, so be sure to check it out. But Amy, indirectly, we've been talking about this for a long time. And we've been talking about being more consultative with your customers, educate them, have more conversations. You know, now's not a time to have your head buried in the sand. It's an opportunity. Again, I'm just going to use that that important word. It's an opportunity for us to form deeper, more meaningful relationships with our customers, because we need to be offering these types of services. It's so important because the competition's doing it. The big outfits are doing it. And it still feels like many MSPs are behind that bell curve as it relates to them evolving with AI. But managed services for sure, and even certain parts of the cybersecurity, is just becoming more and more of a commodity. And this is a great way to differentiate yourself in your own marketplace and form a deeper relationship with your customer to be sticky, you know, be that trusted advisor. But it's a great opportunity out there, and encourage you guys to read that article. Well done, Amy.
I'm a little worried for a lot of MSPs out there. You know, last time we talked about people being worried about what they're going to talk about at their QBR meetings, right?
Yeah.
And if you're still doing just plain old QBR meetings, you're already behind the eight ball on this. And if you don't know even what to say in those meetings, I think you could be in deep trouble. So this is really a skill that MSPs are going to have to develop. And if they don't have it, they're going to have to hire people that do have it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it plays into, you know, you and I read a lot of trade journals and forums and what's going on in the industry. And I kept seeing headlines over the past 3 months that QBRs are dead. QBRs are dead. And I think maybe just the standard cookie cutter approach of the QBR is dead. I see part of what they're saying. But to me, it's one of the most important opportunities for you to form that professional trusted relationship with your customer. All along, I didn't call it a QBR or TBR or SBR, strategic business review. It's just a sales meeting. It's a meeting with you and your customer, and you go over certain things that your customers want to hear about. But that list of what Amy wrote about, those are things that you need to be talking about when you get eyeball to eyeball with your customer. And again, QBRs aren't dead. It's just good communications and you educating your customers on what they should be doing. It's really important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So the article's been getting a lot of chatter in some of the online groups. So I would encourage you, if you haven't seen those, to go out and have a read. You'll find it over at thirdtier.net. I'm going to follow this up with a series of what to talk to your clients about, right? And I've been making a list, and you and I have been talking about that as well. So, you know, I'm just going to put it out there, right? Here's an idea. Here's what you can talk to your client about. And I'll just keep doing it until I run out of ideas, which is probably never.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'll never happen. That'll never happen.
Tales from the field.
So a professor walked into his classroom on final exam day only to find out that Canvas was down. Now, Canvas is where you take exams these days. It's an online exam-taking tool. It is used by thousands of schools, and Canvas got hacked. They got their data stolen. They got ransom asked for right during final exam season. Universities, high schools, everybody uses this stuff. It was a huge deal, and some of them were down for a week. That's really super destructive. But James, I got to ask, if you are standing in front of a classroom teaching, do you ever have a backup?
Not as an instructor, you know, with that kind of technology. I guess as a presenter, I'm thinking through maybe not the professor side, but if I'm teaching a class, I do, you know, I have like 5 backups, you know, printed copies, thumb drives, other devices I can use to serve up the data. But that's when I'm presenting information or holding a class. But I would imagine it caught everybody off guard. They wouldn't have anything.
Yeah, it did. Right. So same thing. When I'm presenting, I have a copy on a USB key. I have the copy in my OneDrive. I have the copy locally on my laptop. It's like it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And if I was in a professor scenario giving an exam, I think I would have a copy of that exam at least on a USB key, too. You know, everybody in that classroom has a laptop these days. You could pass it around and get them going on the test, but you got to have some kind of backup plan. And what really caught me about this, like I feel bad because Canvas app is so huge in the education market and it was down at the most critical time. That was definitely a planned attack. But what caught my eye is the guy that was writing about this and complaining about how disruptive it was to his class was a digital identity and InfoSec professional adjunct professor, and he had no backup plan. And just like, yeah, I had to laugh about that too. Like, well, yeah, you maybe just lost a little credibility there.
Well, I have to tell you, it reminds me of my days back in college. But, you know, if they weren't able to conduct class that day, I'm like, great. I'd shut my book and stand up and class is over. I'm going to happy hour.
The sun is shining. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm
exam
going outside.
Canceled. Well, there's a few events coming up that we wanted to highlight. James, you got your mastermind event coming up, which I am going to be speaking at. Amy and James at the same place at the same time, live and in person.
Love
July
it.
July 30th, 31st, right?
Yeah, July 30th and 31st. Looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome. That's coming up and looking forward to seeing you in person again.
Yep. And I know we've got the SMB Community Conference coming up pretty soon, and we'll have dates and information for that available for you very soon. Keep an eye on your inbox. It's definitely going to be hitting the newsletter. So I've got an announcement to make. I am starting to write a monthly column over at petri.com, P-E-T-R-I. This is called Microsoft Security Without a Rulebook. And they asked me to do this. The first article is out now. It is about the reality of implementing conditional access templates, specifically the require compliant device or hybrid join device template. And this is one of Microsoft's recommended policies that you should be doing. Sounds awesome. What it says is, hey, if you're not a device that we know a compliant or joined device into our environment, then you can't access anything. Sounds fabulous, but there's a whole bunch of gotchas. And that's what my article is about. So check it out over there. We'll get a link into the show notes too. Well, that's our podcast for today, but I have one more thing to tell you. I need to remind you to send an email. James, what's your email address?
James@kernanconsulting.com. On any of the questions of the week, we'd love to hear from you.
We would love to hear from you. Questions of the week or tales from the field. You can send an email. You can send a voice memo or a video. We'd make our producer super, super happy. And we hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech, with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. Part of the MSP Radio Network.